It's 8:02 and you're listening to the Friday, February 24th, KALX Morning News. Here's the latest. An explosion forced New Zealand-bound Flight 801 to return to Honolulu this morning. Late last night, the Senate panel rejected John Tower's nomination for Secretary of Defense, and Cal basketball lost last night. Then baseball faces Stanford today. Good morning, I'm Peter Dudley. These stories and more next on the KALX Morning News. Caused a United 747 bound for New Zealand to return to Honolulu this morning. The cause of the explosion remains unknown, yet officials are saying the explosion may have caused the number 3 and 4 engines to shut down. According to the FAA officials, the plane landed with 9 to 11 people missing, but the exact number remains unknown. There were 355 people on board. The flight originated in San Francisco through Los Angeles. The plane took off from Honolulu and returned because of the explosion. In Fairfield, officials there say two police officers trying to serve a drug-related warrant were shot today by a gunman who then barricaded himself in his home with his wife and two children. Police Lieutenant Lou Lancaster says a Fairfield police detective who was wearing a protective vest was wounded in the lower chest area and an Oakland police officer was hit in the left arm. Lancaster said the gunman surrendered about 3 hours after the shooting. Lancaster added he could not immediately release the names of the officers or the suspect. In his words, quote, "The drug investigation was conducted by Oakland police and we assisted in serving the warrant," end quote. The Oakland School Board announced late Wednesday night that all administrators and principals will receive layoff notices. This comes in an effort to reduce staff in accordance with this year's massive budget-cutting proposal. Though the school board has not committed itself to any definite course of action, many employees, including teachers, could lose their jobs. Denise Sadler-Lipscomb, president of the Oakland Education Association, says that in the face of possible layoffs, teachers have lost confidence in the district. Sadler-Lipscomb says the board should set its priorities before proposing any layoffs, but the board has yet to make an official statement. At UC Berkeley, officials are trying to get the animal rights activists down from their perch on a 160-foot crane with a court order. The protesters started their high-altitude sit-in, early Tuesday morning. There's a hearing in Alameda County Superior Court this afternoon. UC Berkeley police have already told the activists that they're under arrest for being a public nuisance and for trespassing. The protesters are demonstrating against the construction of the Northwest Animal Facility, but the crane they're on is not connected with the facility's construction, and construction continues. In Sacramento, Governor Duke Majens said yesterday that reporters have become confused over the state's fiscal health. He declared that the state does not have a budget deficit. His comments at a convention of the California Taxpayers Association marked his sharpest defense to date of his fiscal policies. He pointed out several newspaper headlines which reported differing deficit figures. Following the speech, the Republican governor declined to discuss his comments on fiscal plans. In recent weeks, four state agencies have reported that California ended the 1987-88 fiscal year with a deficit. Only one agency, the governor's own finance department, reported the state ended the year slightly in the black. A Berkeley couple challenged a city law requiring landlords to pay their tenants' relocation fees when they want to get out of the rental business. Frederick and Marion Binkley are trying to convert their property from 6 rental units into a single-family home, but the law requires each tenant be paid $4,500 to relocate and be given 6 months eviction notice. The couple's attorney says the city law violates a state law. However, in a similar case, a city official defended the law last week. Recently, the island city of Alameda decided its city attorney had too much work to do. Under a controversial plan, Alameda decided to farm out all its legal work to an outside law firm. City Attorney Carter Stroud quit his job to work for the outside firm, and then the city discovered the entire deal was illegal. Now everything's in legal limbo. Councilman Joe Camisha was asked if the city's day-to-day operations will be affected by this turn of events.
It will certainly affect operations. We're in the middle of a lot of litigation that has been a real problem for us. You know, we're going to have to move rather quickly to find someone who can help us on an interim basis.
Camisha says there was nothing wrong with the idea of hiring out its legal services, but he didn't care much for the method used.
I think the concept was a good idea. It would give us the opportunity to expand the reach and experience of our legal department. But we need to do it in such a way that's fair for everybody that wants to apply for the position, and we need to do it in a way that is consistent with the city charter.
This time, says Kamisha, the hiring process should be set out in writing and in detail. Until then, life goes on in Alameda.
Trav is going to be with us through the 7th of March, and we are going to need to find someone on an interim basis that can take over just the day-to-day legal work. And for the moment, we will keep some of our outside counsel to help us with the things that are ongoing.
Kamisha's not happy with things as they are and thinks new blood would help. He said what's needed is a...
fresh face. We've got a lot of people who... I mean, the integrity of the council, the integrity of the staff, the integrity of the city attorney, and this particular outside litigator has all come under question the last couple of weeks. And I think in order to get back on the straight and narrow, we're going to have to find somebody who's not touched by all this.
At present, there are about 50 lawsuits pending against the city of Alameda. In San Francisco yesterday, a jury decided that a police officer acted in self-defense when he fatally shot a teenager during a 1986 break-in at Lowell High School. It took the jury just half an hour to decide that Officer Michael Gaynor was justified in shooting 15-year-old Nesley Yip. In Los Angeles, a rookie police officer and his cruiser was shot and wounded on the city's west side late last night, apparently by an assault rifle fired from the bed of a pickup truck. The shooting took place at 11:15 p.m. at the corner of Sawtelle and Olympic Boulevards. Police Chief Daryl Gates says the 31-year-old officer, Carlton Brown, was after a yellow pickup truck that went through a red light when its tailgate dropped, and the shots began. At least four shots shattered the windshield of the police car. Brown was taken to the nearby UCLA Medical Center and described in fair condition. At least four men are sought. The police chief thinks they were hot, in his words, adding they were going to be stopped and they knew it. Also in Los Angeles, there's a reported break in the serial killings of a dozen street prostitutes dating back 3 years. Police Chief Daryl Gates and Sheriff Sherman Block have called a news conference to announce the development at 10 a.m. today, but their spokesmen say only that Parker Center news conference involves a case of mutual interest. The San Bernardino Sun newspaper got an anonymous tip last night that a Los Angeles County Sheriff's deputy was arrested by L.A. police in Rialto. Rialto Police Lieutenant Brian Hebbard says the Los Angeles police first set up surveillance of a home in Rialto, in Rialto's northern end. Los Angeles Police Department has been criticized in recent days, accused by City Councilman Robert Farrell of withholding information and by women for not warning of the danger. Coming up, John Tower's nomination as defense secretary is turned down by the committee. Have that. President Bush vows to win the Tower fight on the Senate floor, despite Tower's defeat in the Armed Services Committee last night. Christina Jarnes has more.
The Democrat-controlled Senate committee voted 11-9 against the former Texas Senator John Tower's nomination. Tower was President Bush's cabinet choice for defense secretary. Before the vote against Tower, committee chairman Sam Nunn said someone with a history of excessive drinking should not be allowed to run the entire Pentagon. Democratic Senator Richard Shelby agreed that he is not completely comfortable with Tower's past.
Asked the question in the committee, and I have never been satisfied that he doesn't have a drinking problem. I hope he doesn't, but we have not been satisfied of that.
On the other hand, Republican Senator John Warner contends that Bush's nominee is well-liked, and he has no doubts concerning Tower's ability.
Not one single United States senator who has served with John Tower can ever recall a single instance where any of his personal habits interfered with his duty.
Bush says there are no alternatives and no second choices. He's sticking with his designated choice.
The committee vote had been different, but I have not considered any options. I stand strongly with John Tower. I know of nobody else whose knowledge in defense matters can equal his. His knowledge of how the Hill works can equal his. So he is my choice, my only choice.
Despite the committee's refusal to approve Bush's nomination, the odds are with him. The Senate hasn't rejected a presidential choice since 1959, when it voted against President Eisenhower's selection of Louis Strauss as Commerce Secretary. Christina Jarnas, KALX News.
Thank you, Christina. Oliver North's attorneys are hoping to testimony by a prosecution witness yesterday will help the former White House aide's defense. During cross-examination, Contra leader Adolfo Calero said CIA agents referred him to North on questions about aid to the Nicaraguan rebels. North's lawyers are trying to show North's ties to the Contras were well known in Washington. Calero also said he didn't object to the way North used traveler's checks given him by the Contra leader, which were meant to finance efforts to free American hostages in Lebanon. North has been charged with embezzling some of those funds. Police in New York say two men in stocking masks have stolen $2 million worth of gold from a Manhattan gold merchant's office. Authorities say the pair handcuffed three women inside the office before making off with quantities of finished gold, a highly refined form of the precious metal. No one was hurt in the robbery. A U.S. Navy captain accused of failing to help Vietnamese boat people has been given a reprimand. The military jury considering Alexander Balian's case would have sent him to jail and fined him. After Balian failed to provide the refugees with aid, they resorted to cannibalism. Congress is showing its displeasure with President Bush's plan to choose or merge insolvent savings and loans. After reading a bill outlining the $265 billion plan, both Democrats and Republicans have voiced concerns. They're worried about the survival of the industry, which is mainly devoted to home loans. One lawmaker says many administration officials would just as soon see the home mortgage lending industry done away with. Well, the author of Satanic Verses is still in hiding somewhere, but friends who've been in contact with him say Salman Rushdie is bearing up well and is in relatively good spirits, despite the fact that Iranian death squads may be out to get him. Many Muslims have called his book blasphemous. In the U.S., a bookstore chain that pulled copies of the Satanic Verses from its shelves promises to resume its sales. Walden Books is running ads in 9 newspapers defending its initial decision to halt the sales. And in India, at least 10 people have been killed in an Indian protest against Rushdie's book. United News of India says police fired on violent mobs in Bombay who'd set fire to state-run buses and attacked policemen. The violence broke out when thousands of Muslims emerged from mosques following weekly prayers. And a militant Lebanese Shiite Muslim is facing life in prison following his hijacking conviction of Switzerland's highest court. The 22-year-old was convicted of 1987 hijacking of an Air Afrique jetliner, during which he killed a French passenger. And coming up, we'll have sports.
For Calix Sports. Today starts the 3-day baseball series between California and Stanford. Game starts today at 2 o'clock at Evans Diamond. Cal Bears could be locked into the 5th place in Pac-10. Last night, Eric Knox scored 24 points in Oregon State, 60-54 win over visiting California. The Beavers made 36% of their field goals tries, but went on a 19-8 point midway through the second half. Lenard Taylor and Roy Fisher scored 14 apiece for California. The second-ranked Arizona Wildcats clinched at least a try for the Pac-10 baseball championships between beating Arizona State 109-74. Sean Elliott, Anthony Cook, and Kevin Lofton combined for 53 points in their senior year final in Tuscan. Elliott scored 22, while Cook had 18 and Lofton 13, along with 8 assists. The Wildcats are 15-1 in the Pac-10 and 21-3 overall. Scott Meitner scored Stanford's last 3 field goals, and the 16th-ranked Cardinal beat Oregon at Eugene 54-50. The Ducks pulled to 1 point behind with 4 minutes and 45 seconds left, but Meitner got hot. Todd Lynch wound up with 19 points for Stanford, now 22-5 and 13-3 in the conference. Randy Grant had 17 points for Oregon, which is 8-17 and 3-12. Kelly Townsend for Calix. Have a good day.
Thanks, Kelly. And a quick look at the weather. Today will be cloudy with a few possible sprinkles. Highs are expected to be 55-65. Tonight, the lows will be in the upper 30s to near 50s. Saturday has a chance of showers, highs 55 to 65. And that wraps up this morning's KALX News. Hope you enjoyed it. Thanks go to engineer Lucy Valadares. And for the entire KALX News team, I'm Peter Dudley. Be sure to tune in every weekday at 8 a.m., noon, and 5:30 p.m. for all the latest in news, weather, and sports. Have a nice Friday.